first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast, show number 87. We have got depleted numbers. At full strength, we're at six. We've got four of us around the table. We've got Mr. Sean Miller.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Dan Silva.
Good afternoon.
We've got Stuart Hoare here.
All right.
And we've got myself, Jim Staples. We will crack on, though. We have got a show to do. And we've decided, we had a little meeting. We're going to push on right through the season, aren't we?
Yeah.
So you'll get a new podcast once a week. They might be a little bit smaller. We might only do half hour today. We'll see how it goes. They might be... might be an hour, as they sometimes turn out to be, but
we'll see how it goes. Thing is, mate,
how lucky we've listeners
had,
get.
Yeah, you're right. We've had, I mean, it's not like there's not enough football to talk about,
yes,
or stuff going on,
exactly.
Is it? Like, I mean, we've got. I know the Euros are just finished now, but and the Olympics, some people aren't that fussed about. But there's so much. It's still footy, and there's still a hell of a lot going on domestically and and worldwide anyway. So
it's true. And to be honest, we're always going to meet up in the pub and talk about football. So
might as well.
Might as well just stick an iPhone down and record it, so we're not really doing anything different than it would be. So we'll stick with you guys, we'll stick with you, whilst others leave you and treat you like a dirty mistress.
We'll be here for you. With you through the summer.
Right, show number 87. Normally I pick out a stat for the number of shows, and this week I was a bit snowed on, so I asked Sean and Jerome to both try and find me a stat.
I found something about a Peruvian team.
You found fuck all, Sean, is what you did. You spent 20 minutes, and I went, right, what have you got for me? I haven't got anything. So
today, a Peruvian team got thrown out of the cup because their starting 11 were nothing but stingrays and eels.
Okay, to which case, my I went, well, what's that all about? And then he went, that's all I've got. There's nothing else. In 1987, that happened, apparently.
Apparently. Didn't really
make much
sense.
They fielded a team of...
Well, that's what their list
team sheet.
The team sheet was.
But what I also try and do is try and keep it quite topical, so I'll show something about 87 and then tie it to something that's happened in football this week.
Have you got another eel story?
No.
Maybe next week.
All
right. Yeah. Show 87... January 16th, 1987, Walk Like an Egyptian was at number one by the Bengals.
Yep.
And it just coincides that the FIFA World Rankings have been out this week.
Hey.
And Egypt were once ranked ninth in the FIFA World Rankings, which makes them the only and the first, obviously.
Ninth. When was
they
that?
Were a few years ago, probably, I think, mid-80s. Around 87, it might have been. They were once ranked ninth. We made them the only ever Arab team in the top 10.
Yeah.
And one of only two African nations in the top 10. And this is the week that the world rankings are out, and Brazil are out of the top 10 for the first time ever.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that. Brazil are out of the top 10.
Brazil for the first time ever.
And what are we?
Four in the world.
Your 87 stat has opened up a whole new conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
So England are fourth in the world. Does anyone know how? Have you actually looked at the formula?
No,
because we weren't we were undefeated technically in normal time. We didn't lose a game at the Euros.
Mate, it's Todgson, when he first took over, we said, look, he got Switzerland to number two or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just what he does. We ain't going to win anything, but by it, we're going to be high in the rankings.
Maybe if we can get a song irrelevant to England as well, you know, like Walk Like an Egyptian, or you know, like something like Walk Like an Englishman, that might boost us up the rankings a bit more as well.
With a bowler hat and...
Yeah.
No, I don't think there was any correlation between the Bengals and the world rankings, but there might
be. To be fair, it's got more chance of being that than what FIFA come up with.
Yeah.
So, does anyone know the top three?
I'm guessing Spain.
Yep.
I would have thought so. Germany?
Germany.
Holland?
And Holland, I think, are the top three. I know, obviously we're fourth. Argentina are seventh. Portugal, I think, are fifth. Italy are sixth.
Why'd you go in that order?
Yeah, very strange order. Thanks, mate.
Those were the teams I remembered. I just kind of filled in the blanks. So I went along.
He's talking like an Egyptian. I don't know about walking like an Egyptian. But right, let's move on. Since the last show, we recorded the last show last Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it was the night. It was the day before.
The day of the day first semi final.
Thank you very much for putting the words into my mouth. Yeah. So we were looking at it. We said, right, Spain are going to win that, and we thought, We said Germany, Italy would be quite close, but none of us gave Italy hope, really, did
no,
we?
No, not really.
We were out boozing, weren't we, on the Thursday
That's
night?
Right.
And we were standing outside of a bar that had the footy on, luckily, very nicely had glass windows.
Yeah.
So we could keep an eye on the footy. And I just happened to look up from my pint twice and see Balotelli smashing
goals.
Two goals.
Second was a peach.
I mean, the second one was outstanding. And the celebration.
I mean, the build up for the first goal as well, a lovely ball in. Was it Cassano?
Delightful. Absolutely delightful.
And I mean, he's done well to get his head to it and what have you, but yeah, if he misses from there, or certainly if he puts it off target, if it's a save, it's a good save. If he puts it off target, you're wondering why. But yeah, the second goal just epitomised the man to me as well. Start off a great ball from deep. For the ball over, and it looked like he was sort of in front of it, and I think he probably thought he might be offside, because the way the ball came over, you just thought, well, he's offside because he's got so much space.
Yeah,
and it wasn't really comfortable.
It took an age.
He did exactly the same against England, but his touch wasn't as good.
Yeah.
And it meant that John Terry could get back.
That's
whereas
right.
This time, it was just spot on, wasn't it? And he accelerated off and didn't half lash it in.
Mm.
And that celebration was wonderful.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
See, he came out and said, after you got booked for that, and a few of his teammates were a bit angry with him.
Great quote.
They weren't angry because I got booked, they were just jealous of my physique.
What an absolute lad.
Yeah.
And there was, ties into, did you see the player in the Japanese league?
No, I didn't see
was
that.
Was that last week?
Go on.
One of the, it was two of the... top teams, I think, in the Japanese league. This fella's, I think it was a striker, rather midfielder, has picked up the ball on the halfway line, turned, run about 20 yards, and unleashed an absolute thunderbolt from about 40 yards out into the top left-hand corner.
Sorry, what league was it?
Japanese league.
Okay.
Absolute thunderbolt, and just whipped his shirt off and done the Balotelli celebration. It's a little skinny geezer. It was just quality. It was. I think it might be. A little trend.
They've set a precedent. You have to get booked. Like we talked about it last season when Graham Alexander scored with his last game when he was about 8,000th league appearance.
Right.
Got booked for that as well. They're always going to do it. But when Balotelli did it,
the kid that got booked for going to see his mum.
Yeah,
and the little youngster who scored.
He was
17.
Yeah.
Went to his mum and jumped in the crowd.
Wycombe Wanderers, I think it
was. Yeah, and got booked for it.
The thing is, when Balotelli did it in the first half of a semi-final, straight away you were just like,
oh no. Yeah, no.
His coach must have just been, all right, okay, if we're like 4-0 up and it's the second half, get yourself a booking. But it was just like, oh, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're asking for trouble. But he did well, he sat on the pitch. He got cramped, didn't he? So they didn't want to risk him for the final.
Not
that
they're really mad.
No.
Well, we'll go on to that in a minute. But
I thought it was lovely, though, can I say, that when he went and hugged his mum.
Yeah, that was lovely.
I thought it was lovely.
Touching moment.
It brought a little bit of humanity back to the crazy cat that is Mario Balotelli.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it was lovely. He said he wanted to do it for his mum. Yeah, that was nice. It was touching.
He's a good kid, really.
He's a good lad.
Yeah, I mean, second half, you were looking at it thinking, right, Germany are going to come right out. He brought a couple of subs on, and they didn't really seem to have any urgency at all.
No, in fact,
I was very surprised.
Italy had the better chances in the second half, didn't they?
And also, the fact that Italy had played the quarterfinal against England 2 days after Germany had played, Germany breezed past Greece, really.
Yeah.
I know at one stage there was a draw on it, and it looked like it was going to be interesting, but... They fairly comfortable in the end. Made a load of subs, made a load of changes as well.
Yep.
And it looked like the reverse. It looked like Germany had the tired legs and what have you. And I know Balotelli had cramp and what have you, so a few of them did get injured and what have you. But, it was a bizarre result.
It was a bizarre result.
And, I mean, they got the goal, and they... 91st minute, was it, or something like that? And then...
You
could have seen them get back into it. The defining moment for me in the extra time period, added time period, was the goalkeeper doing a... diving header clearance from the halfway line. It's like they lump the ball. I'm like, well, where's the keeper? And suddenly, from nowhere, just did a diving header, put the ball back into
Brilliant.
The box. But you wouldn't have put it past them to get an equaliser, would
no,
you? Really,
no.
Having not been in the game at all. Once it went back to 2-1, and they were just lumping balls in the box. A couple of times, their forwards gave silly fouls away as well, where they came out and the ball was there to be won, and they put up their elbows. And if they just got a flick on there, then they're sort of in there. But bloody hell, Dan's got a beater on.
Sun's
just come out in Canary Wharf, and Dan's just got a vest on, which is splendid.
I thought you'd
give the ladies
that.
A treat.
I didn't think I could get away with that.
No,
bloody hot.
Stu, what do you think of the vest?
Yeah.
Good. Right. Let's move on. the other quarterfinal then, semi-final, sorry, which happened the day before.
Yeah.
Spain-Portugal. You could tell from about 10 minutes into that game that it was going to be 0-0.
I disagree. I thought the first half was really exciting. I really enjoyed it.
What, you mean without a shot on target?
That was the second half. First half...
And the first half.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough.
I thought the 90 minutes weren't great. No. But the extra time, I think Spain came out and thought, right, if it goes to penalties, then it's sort of 50-50.
Jordi Alba was brilliant in the...
Agree with that. Spain were unlucky in extra time because they actually came... They played the sort of football in extra time that they went on to play against Italy for
I think they showed the... gave a little demonstration of the type of football they could play.
Yes.
And then in the final, put the foot down and wow.
Yeah.
But, hello, mate. What's next to me?
Yeah, I'm moving around to come into the sunshine. Social.
Oh, fair enough. Left them home. Yeah.
Move up, Stu.
Yeah. Went to penalties.
Yes, went a bit. I mean, the problem was, it was, there was a lot of whinging, a lot of moaning about. A bit being a really crap game, and to be honest, I was up there as well. It was, unfortunately, Portugal played very well, which nullified the creativity.
Yeah, I mean, first half, I thought Portugal were good. I thought they really got at Spain,
but they just didn't shoot. Oh, they didn't trouble the goalkeeper at all, and it was just annoying that them playing so well nullified the threat of Spain, which meant that actually it was just quite an even battle, and it was the immovable object meets the unstoppable force.
I think you've got to give Portugal a bit of credit here.
If only they had someone better than Hugo Almeida up front.
Yeah.
He was absolutely diabolical.
Talking of which, did you see Nuno Gomes sign for Blackburn?
That's right.
How bizarre is that?
Yeah.
Very strange. Mm. Very, one very strange.
Replacement for Yakubu.
Leon Best and Nuno Gomes.
Yeah. Danny
Murphy. Yeah, slightly off topic. Yeah, we mentioned Danny Murphy last week. Slightly off topic, but yeah, that Gomes one is very strange because it could either be an absolute genius, stroke of genius, to have him in the championship, or he will just be absolutely awful.
And he doesn't even realise where Blackburn is.
Yeah.
They've probably said just Manchester.
Yeah.
Because that's where he'll stay, to be honest.
Steve Keane speaks Portuguese, little known fact that.
Does he?
He used to manage in the Portuguese league, so maybe that's got something to do
manage
with
it. Manage in the
league?
Yeah. What league?
He either managed or played for União Leiria in the...
How do you know that?
Don't know, fountain of useless knowledge about Steve King.
Didn't know he's
any questions about Steve King?
Yeah,
give Sean Miller a shout.
So he's a Portugal expert. I like that. That makes a bit more sense now. I didn't know anything behind that. So she's probably got some contacts over there.
From you'd imagine. So.
So let's go. So yeah, on the same front as well. When Italy were destroying Germany, it actually got me thinking that okay, maybe England holding them to extra time and then
so bad.
Taking them to penalties. I was actually looking at it thinking they are a really good team.
Yeah.
That, to be honest, I had underestimated. I knew they were a good team, but I didn't see them beating Germany and didn't see them playing.
I don't think they are a great team. I think they're a team of players that played very well together. If you know what I mean. So not like believing what, but I think they're not like you because it's been said by the Italian press, I mean, that they're the worst team in 20 years or so or something like that. But
well, they were a lot better than the team in the World Cup that drew with New Zealand, weren't they?
Yeah, very true. I mean, but they. I mean, no Del Piero, etc.
They always say that in the Italian press that the Italian team is best when there's a lot of adversity and there's like an internal football crisis. And obviously, at the moment, there's tons of match fixing scandals, like back when they won the World Cup. In 2006, was it?
Yeah.
Obviously, Gigi Buffon's being investigated for...
I heard a lot of this before the tournament, actually, about people saying, oh, they always do well. But, I mean, I don't buy into all of that. Like, that start of the Spurs ending in a one and all that sort of stuff.
Right,
so it's just, I think it's just coincidence, to be honest. Yeah. But, I mean, it might get a little bit of you. But, I think what they were saying is the fact that it's not a team, individual-wise, it's not the greatest team they've had for a long time. But, I mean, it doesn't matter.
But there's still some standout individuals in there. Obviously, Cassano and Balotelli up front can win a game for you, either one of them. Pirlo's fantastic, even though he's getting on a bit.
Yeah.
I think Ricardo Montalivo had a fantastic tournament.
Definitely. Chiellini, who was one of the players that went off injured, wasn't
he? That's right, yeah.
Which was a shame for him. Let's move on to the final. Again, to be honest, I didn't see Spain walking away with it like they did.
No.
I thought it was going to be a tight game.
There was mitigating factors why. In fact, obviously...
Yeah, well, they were 2-0 up.
I mean, they were 2-0 up and playing unbelievably well. But, I mean, to play the majority of the second half against 10 men...
Yeah.
That was really unfortunate.
Who was it? It was Thiago Motta.
Yeah,
I'm not being funny. He didn't get injured, Shawnee. He didn't warm up.
Is that
I don't know. This is what I'm getting. He was on the pitch for a minute and did his hamstring.
Yeah.
The only reason you do that is if you surely if you haven't, warmed up.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's gotten to be basics, isn't it?
Yeah, you would have thought so. The commentary as well was awful because. Oh. It was, I think it was Mark Lawrenson, and
do you know, right,
the commentary team. I actually really like Guy Mowbray.
Yeah, I don't like Guy Mowbray.
A few things wrong.
He does, but I mean, I don't mind.
It doesn't annoy me.
Yeah,
right. I actually have a theory. I have a theory that the producers at BBC genuinely turn around to Mark Lawrenson and say, "Right, be as miserable as you possibly can."
But it's not even that. Okay, the miserable thing I can sort of get past and what have you. But it's just getting basics wrong. Like when he went down, he said, he's been kicked in the leg.
Yeah.
And straight away he's holding his hammy. Yeah. So anyone that sort of knows where the hamstring is probably knows right when he's done that, and you could tell he was in
straight away. Yeah. I went, that's his hammy gone,
and also you can realise if his hamstring's gone, he's done.
Yeah.
No matter how, like, unless he just stands there and does like in the centre circle, which it would have just been an absolute farce, he's done.
Yeah.
And Lawrenson still persisted for the next 30-40 seconds saying, yeah, he's got a knock on. Then they showed the replay and you can see there's no contact at all and he's still down almost crying, and then Guy Mowbray was sort of like off the heel.
I think it's a hamstring, actually.
Do you know, a bit of Guy Mowbray trivia.
Go on.
Say your point first.
No, you go first.
He was Eurosport in 1998. He was the youngest ever television commentator for a World Cup final. He was only 26.
Really?
That's pretty good.
He was a 26-year-old commentator in 1998 doing the World Cup final for Eurosport.
I mean, we'll brush over the Eurosport bit.
That's
pretty impressive.
Then he became the youngest ever BBC World Cup final commentator in 2010. Obviously, at the age of 38. And he's now still one of the youngest commentators. So he's only 40.
This is really quite random. Why are we having Guy Mowbray trivia?
Guy Mowbray loving it.
I tell you what, for the exact incident that we brought up, when Mark Lawrenson was chatting shit, someone went, the BBC commentators are just as bad as ITV. No, they are not.
No, no.
And then I said, I like Guy Mowbray. And then someone went, who is Guy Mowbray? So I went on Wikipedia and then I found all this out. Born in York, supports York City, so he's happy that they're back in the league.
Yeah.
Lives there with his family, still commutes down to the BBC. Well, I suppose now they're based in Manchester.
Exactly,
it's a lot easier for him.
Yeah.
He also plays cricket regularly for Bishop Thorpe Cricket Club.
Thanks for that, Jimbo.
Alongside promising young cricketer Alex Jubb. Sometimes he plays for the first team.
Such a knob. Anyway, so going back to that commentary, I was getting pretty fed up with the commentary.
Yeah.
And I was on Twitter.
Are you talking about the final in particular?
Yeah, the final was really starting to wind me up. And I started off about in the second half. I think it was Dan Silver from The Mirror and Lakeside Lizzie, who does a bit of writing for us as well. They started tweeting about it, and then more and more people started tweeting about it, that there was an alternative CBBC commentary.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? So I thought, with about 15 minutes to go, I thought, do you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to see what this is all about. Because they kept saying, it was raving about it on Twitter. So I turned it over for the last 15 minutes.
Red Button.
Yeah. It was absolutely outstanding.
It was hilarious.
It was three people, I think. A guy and two girls. And it was just as if you were watching a TV programme, children's TV programme.
It wasn't kids doing the commentary?
No.
I thought it was like 8-year-olds.
No, 8-year-olds
giving their version
of
it.
It was four kids that were watching the football with their parents. I mean, the kids, to keep them entertained more, they'd put it on for the CV. So, and it was like, it was ridiculous. They were talking about, centre-back, not PK, Ramos. That he had lovely hair.
And then when
they brought Torres on as a substitution, and the girl was like, when he set up the scored the first one, set up the second one, he was like, I think that's got to be the best substitution that's ever been done ever. But my favourite part where they went, and now down to our pitch side reporter Hacker T Dog with our latest on the goal. And he goes, I'm Hacker T Dog. Yeah, he went, they've just put the ball in the back of the net, but they've kicked the net. I don't know why they kicked the net. What's the net ever done to them? And I'm like, you're just sitting there wetting myself laughing.
That's why Lawrenson had that in his ear. He was actually paying more attention to CBBC than he was the actual commentary. That's why he missed the hamstring injury.
They even nearly missed the third goal because they were having a little pop quiz. At the time.
You can't argue with that.
It was absolutely hilarious. So hats off to the BBC for their CV's, BV's commentary. It was hilarious.
Hats off.
Last thing I'd say about that was in that Metro today, which probably a lot of people have seen. Bit naughty about the TV coverage,
that's
wasn't
right,
it?
From UEFA.
Did you see this in the Metro this morning?
They faked some...
You know when the second Italy goal went in against the Germans in the semi-final, they shot to a woman in the crowd who had a tear coming down her eye. And so apparently our mates got in touch and were like, why are you
Andrea
crying?
Andrea from Düsseldorf,
well remembered. Yeah. Like, why are you crying when it was only 55... No, was it? No,
yeah, 30 odd minutes.
I remember this.
Yeah. I remember this happening.
And we were saying to something, like, me and my mates watching, going, Jesus, this lot of ages left.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Germans are really good at comebacks. Yeah. And it was only early
doors. So they were cutting it.
It was done during the national anthem, she was crying. And they cut it in. And remember when Joachim Löw... punched the ball out of the ball boy's hand midway through the Holland game, 20 minutes in. That was actually in the warm-up beforehand, not actually during the game. And apparently UEFA wanted to put across the humanity of football by faking TV footage.
What the replays that I liked during the Euros by whoever was broadcasting it out there was just loads of players basically yawning or
bad for slow motion replay.
It's just whatever any country, because that's how people broadcast it different. So if it was over here, obviously we'd have the replays that we have the replays of. I remember in Portugal they were consistently showing replays of like completely nothing and you're missing half the game.
So
the game's going on, they take a corner and then they show a replay and you think, oh, this will be the chance, and then it's just the corner taker in a slow-mo striking the ball. By that time, the ball's down the other end of the pitch, and there's a chance on goal, and they just cut back to it. Crazy. But I mean, you can't blame the
foreigners
for once. You can't blame ITV or BBC there.
No.
They had to take.
They
would
have just cut for an ad to an advert.
Absolutely. Would have been fine. Would have been absolutely fine. Torres came on. Did he start against Ireland? He started against Ireland, didn't he?
Yeah, he started against Ireland.
And he finishes cold and boom.
Ridiculous.
Reina did a bit as well.
Same as Gomez. Same goals. Three goals, one assist. Same as Gomez, but
less
time on the
pitch.
I never knew they worked it out like
I didn't
that.
Know that either. I had no idea.
Must be a new thing.
So it must be. First it's goals, then it's goals and assists, then it's goals since the time on the pitch. I'm sure
previously they just kind of said, yeah, you've all won it.
I think you're right. I think they've given a joint Golden Boot award.
Yeah.
I think the way they've done it is better. I think
And he didn't. And he didn't even get in the Euro team of the tournament.
No, but Gerrard did, didn't he?
Yeah,
he got in the squad.
It was basically Spain, Gerrard, and Pirlo. That was it.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have that.
Yeah, it's only Alvaro Arbeloa from the Spain starting lineup who didn't make the squad.
Yeah. So, okay.
Just going with that final, they were an absolute. It was a masterclass of football, wasn't it? I mean, the first goal, Fabregas, how he got round now, I don't know. How he then picked out 4'2" David Silva, who nods it in when it's been rocketed at him from about five yards away. Wonderful goal. Second goal, Jordi Alba, bloody hell.
He
didn't have motor. And the ball, Barcelona done.
The ball was amazing, and the first touch as well for a left-back.
How he threaded that ball, was it Iniesta, wasn't it? How he threaded that through ball at that... Because it's not only... I was talking to my old man about this the other day. It's not only getting it through... You know, the width of the gap of a football, you know, you've got no mile for it, but the weight on it, like to actually have it so it's right into the guy's path who's running at 74 miles an hour, it was just absolutely outstanding. And by that point, you were just like, when that second goal went in, you were like, there's no coming back for it. And then with the injury,
of course,
it was just an exhibition game, wasn't it?
It was good to watch, to be honest.
You can't say that about some Spain's games in this tournament.
It was by far the best they've played.
Yeah.
They saved the best of the final.
Which I think sometimes obviously.
Isn't that frightening, the fact that they didn't have to play that well to get there, and then they can do that? They can just turn it on.
It's terrifying. I mean, the one thing I will say is that I completely disagree with the 4-6 formation. I completely disagree with that there should be. I believe there should be one striker on the pitch. You know, and my old man was actually saying that he reckons it was purely through necessity. He said if David Villa had been fit,
he would have
played. But the fact is that they didn't rate Torres enough to start him.
I mean, Llorente didn't even get on.
But that was a bit bizarre. But that's a bit because Llorente has been fantastic. Why the hell we started Negredo? No idea.
Juan Mata didn't only got on for the last
and scored
first touch.
With his first touch. Brilliant. Exactly. I mean, what a wonderful player. But that is the only thing. I really hope they don't continue to play as a 4-6 formation, because I think unless they play as they did in the final, which in theory they could all the time, sometimes that formation leads it to it being a little bit dull.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, obviously, as impressive it is to see these incredible players keep the ball as well as they do, I want to see a bit of action.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is a fantastic
go and watch a Van Damme film. the debate was open, obviously, the best international team ever. Certainly, yeah, in our lifetime, it's a very
odd competition, isn't it?
Well, in fact, obviously, the only comparison, supposedly, is Brazil in the 1970s, isn't it? Yeah, and I have no idea. My dad, again, my old man was talking
this
about
this. This is what you do. When you can't formulate your own opinion on something, you speak to someone older, and generally, so I did exactly the same thing I said to my old man. So
he's not convinced. What are you on about? My old man's not convinced.
My dad said, yes, they are, because he said the way that football's evolved since, he said, 1970 Brazil team were a very good team and they were equally as impressive, but they were given time on the ball. So he said, if Spain were given as much time as that Brazil team on the ball, then they would be twice as devastated as they were. Yeah. So he said, yeah, overall.
Really? I think my old man loves his old school football and just believes that.
But you know what? Don't you love the fact that when we like when I'm my dad's age, like sort of mid-60s, whatever, we will still be talking about this team, and I will be able to remember them winning these three tournaments, particularly this latest one. And I don't think that's because it's just top of mind. I think that final, because there's been some finals recently, like when Italy won the World Cup. Like I don't remember anything about that final really. Like I really don't.
I mean, but the fact this was the biggest defeat in a final.
I mean, they just kept on smashing records, didn't they? Yeah. It's ridiculous, ridiculous.
And I'll remember it as the year that we were doing a podcast.
True, the glorious summer that was.
The glory days.
One other thing as well, did you see Platini came out afterwards in a press conference and said that they are considering for 2020 running the tournament over several countries?
Yeah, have you seen this?
No.
Over a multitude of cities, like maybe 12 different cities.
What?
They're going to run it, and so like the whole of Western Europe.
You'd have group games at Wembley, group games in Lisbon, group games in Paris. It's what they haven't decided they're going to do it. They're just considering it at the moment. It's something that they've
got to like.
But to be honest, for him to mention that in a press conference, they must be seriously considering it.
I think a tournament should be held in a country or two countries, you know, and that is where I think that's what creates the atmosphere and the magic of the tournament.
It's an opportunity for those countries to showcase what they're all about. And I mean. Poland and Ukraine put on a great tournament.
They didn't half come off well.
All this talk about like the racism and the threat of violence and what have you. The only from my mates out there, and from when I was out there, the only time that they felt vulnerable was when there was a lot of Russian fans there.
Yeah,
and they're not even. It's nothing to do with the host nations. I know they're not the host nations.
Which is a little bit worrying about 2018, is it?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not going there.
But anyway,
I mean, they didn't half put on a good show. So. But I definitely don't think it should be spread across a load of cities. I think that kind of ruins the tournament football. And
I'll tell you what as well, England are playing in Kiev in September next year. So in about a year's time and 2 months' time in a World Cup qualifier, I'm definitely going out there.
Yeah.
I'll do a week out there.
Yeah.
60p a pint of the strongest lager you can get out there. 60p a pint.
Sold already.
It was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. So we're definitely going to do that. We'll do it as a podcast outing. There's actually going to be an email coming out soon on that. So if anyone wants to get involved.
Interesting.
Instead of meeting us in the North London, in a sort of Soho boozer, come out to the Kiev with us. So we're going. Right, let's move on. Let's bloody move on.
Well, there's so much to talk about.
Yeah,
in domestic
we've
stuff,
got we've got sort of 10 minutes. Just quickly on the GB Olympics, obviously the squad was announced. We'll touch on that next week. We'll have a proper preview because we'll print out the fixtures and we'll have a look at who's going to be in there and what have you. And while we're mentioning that, obviously Daniel Sturridge.
Get
well soon, on all of that. Obviously, it's been widely publicised.
Supposedly, today, though, he's got a chance of making the squad.
Yeah.
So it's good news. Yeah.
I hope he recovers but doesn't make the squad so that Wilfried Zaha gets called out instead.
Yeah, he really asked the other day. He was like, oh, yes. I was like, what? He went, Sturridge. I went, what is it? Is
you
it,
bastard.
No. I was like, no. Finley Vale, straight away, he was like, oh shit, no, I didn't mean that. He's obviously saying that. I went, what do you mean? Is it like, is he alright? He went, no, he's got viral meningitis. I went, I know, why is that good? He went, because Wilfried Zaha's going to be in the, is it Zaha?
You bastard.
Wilfried Zaha's going to be in the GB squad.
You,
and I went,
got to look,
I went, that's a bit harsh. He went, oh shit, yeah, no, I know it's bad about that, but. So, So does it depend on that for the Palace man?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
He's one of the players on standby.
Well, although, I hope he bloody don't make it.
It might be, it'd probably be better to call up Jordan Rhodes because he's a more natural goal scorer to replace.
We'll talk about it next week, but I just want to say I think it's a criminal that Beckham wasn't in the squad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
That's what we'll talk about it next week.
He started kicking off as well during his last game for.
LA, that's right.
Galaxy.
He squared up to kick the mascots.
Kick the ball at someone. I don't know from how far.
Is this after scoring a classic David Beckham free kick?
Yeah.
He did in a game.
They lost 4-3, though.
Was it?
I think they put them 3-2 up.
It was just literally the day after Pierce had said it's for footballing reasons, and then he goes and curls in a wonder free kick. Anyway, so yes. Right, so, I know
we,
you
yeah,
don't
we'll
like,
talk about like, that. Like, domestic news, yeah, we can talk about Spurs. Go for
nah,
it.
No, nah, I was going to go to Gillian first, but we can go to Spurs if you want.
Yeah, let's talk about Spurs. So obviously, he's confirmed. We touched on it last week, and we've known for a few weeks. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm excited about it. I'm not devastated about it. I'm pretty indifferent at the moment. It wouldn't have been my choice. I don't know who my choice would have been. But
what about Laurent Blanc?
Laurent Blanc, he's done all right. He's a bit of a knob, though, isn't he, Laurent Blanc?
Yeah, a lot of managers are.
Yeah, this is what I mean. This is why I love Harry and obviously and everything like that. But do you know what? For Levy to have taken this much of a gamble and supposedly given him, I mean, there's rumours of anything from 50 million to 100 million transfer kitty.
Wow.
Yeah. There's rumours of anywhere between the two. If he's done that and he has taken a punt on someone that did so badly at Chelsea, he really must. And what I really hope is that he's learnt from his mistakes, and he genuinely has learnt from his mistakes.
Let's be honest. He got the job at Chelsea because he was an up and like a really, really good up and coming manager.
Tactically
he hasn't turned into a bad manager overnight at Chelsea.
Of course not.
For whatever reason, it didn't work out, and whether that be the players that didn't want to take on his philosophy, or he wasn't quite ready for it, or whatever. Yeah. I honestly think, and I'm by no means a Spurs fan, I think he's a good appointment.
Well,
I really do.
I hope
it's
you're
a
right.
Completely different job that he's got to do at Spurs, because Spurs aren't a club in transition.
Well,
as Chelsea
are. I was going to say this is exactly it. He's got a group of young players that. There's not a lot of chiefs there.
Yeah.
And I think that, in theory, in theory, it could work. You know, because that was the one thing that Harry Redknapp supposedly lacks is tactics, and it's the one thing that AVB's strongest point is tactics. And if he plays the 4-3-3 with the high line that he did at Porto and smashed the league and the Europa League. I think we've got the players to do it. I think Aaron Lennon might struggle a bit because
Gareth Bale signed a new contract since the last
that's the best news I'd heard since the end of the season. I think 4-3-3. I like Sigurdsson. I think seven goals and 19 appearances for an attacking midfielder.
Yeah,
pretty bloody
not
good.
Bad.
I just want Modric to go now. Get the money for him.
Yeah, mate.
He's not happy. He doesn't want to. I think he could be a little troublemaker. As much as he's not a troublemaker.
I was just going to say that because obviously there was all the furore around, right? You're not selling him. We'll sell him.
Yeah.
He just cracked on with his football, didn't he?
And
he had, I don't know how good a season he had.
He didn't start that well, but got better.
Yeah.
As he sort of came into like, right, I'm here for the season. I'm just going to get on my footy. And,
yeah.
And he had a fantastic European tournament. To be fair, the couple of games I saw him in,
he was very good.
Which is, to be honest, I'd like him to go to Real Madrid. I don't want him to see him stay in England because I think he could come back and punish us big time. I'd like to see him go to Real Madrid and just move on and start to build the squad. And in theory, it could be an exciting time to be a Spurs fan. It could be an absolutely devastating time to be a Spurs fan after everything. Anyway.
Robin van Persie.
Yes.
There's an Arsenal fan that we work with, and to be honest, we've been winding him up. As soon as they signed Podolski and Giroud, we were both sort of saying, well, you signed two left-footed forwards, like the right and he's on the wall. And I was doing it to sort of take the mickey out of him, and I hadn't really thought too much into it. But when you look at it, they've signed two sort of top, well, hopefully top class. Podolski still to prove it at the top level in terms of club football, but Giroud, from what I've heard, and I know a few people that know their French football, he's going to be the business. He really is.
Although that's what they said about Chamakh.
Yeah, true. I don't know. I didn't get any insight onto Chamakh, but I mean, they're both left-footed forwards.
Yeah.
And I know Podolski does play out wide and what have you, but then Van Persie did that. A lot of Arsenal fans coming out very bitter already, saying cheers, Van Persie. One full season is all we got out of you.
I've just got to throw this in because I saw this just before I came out. It was
go
brilliant.
On.
It was from Football Jokes. On Twitter, it's at Football Funnies.
They
are very funny.
Yeah.
They tweeted this: "Please God, let this happen." And then a Twitter picture, which was a picture of a Piers Morgan tweet that he had sent to Robin van Persie.
Nineteenth
of November, I think it was. But it said, "No pressure at Persie official, but if you leave Arsenal." That I'm going to throw myself off Santa Monica Pier in lead weights.
Oh, brilliant.
I'd volunteer to be one of the weights. if he needs it.
I thought that was fantastic. So they've obviously that was done last year, but I think they've just Just making him aware of it again, in case he'd forgotten.
Well, remind, like, give football at Football Funnies a follow, though, because they are brilliant. They make you laugh three or four times a day at least. They're talking about that he's got 1 year left on his contract, that he might actually play out that part of his contract. Very strange the way it's come out and the way he's done it, but we'll see.
It's bizarre. Yeah, I think I quite like it in a way. I know I'm an Spurs fan, so I'm going to like it. but I think that, like, he said, look, I've had an honest chat with the chairman.
And he disagrees with Dorian.
I generally do. I can't, you know, I've loved it and stuff, but and he wants to win medal. And it's not, I want more money. It's clearly not, and I think it genuinely is. He wants to. He's 28. Like, he's got to, if he wants to win some serious stuff, he's got to move on now.
With his injury problem, he's only got a couple of full seasons left.
Do you know what Arsenal should do? Sell him, get some money, sign Berbatov, and have Berbatov and those other two playing off him. Because Podolski could play on the right, cutting in on his left.
Yeah.
Berbatov, Giroud, and Podolski as a free forward line is better than Van Persie and who did they have this season?
Van Persie
and whoever. Jovino. But I mean, Arsenal fans can't be too despondent. Yes, he's had an amazing season. Would he have been good next season? Certainly not if all this contract fury hadn't been sorted out. And they've still got, Oxlade Chamberlain coming through, they've got Walcott, who's still a massive prospect, they've got Wiltshire coming back from injury. So,
in the last few seasons, though, for Arsenal, it just always seems to be players coming through, and then when they do come through, they.
If I was an Arsenal fan, I'd still be really looking forward to next season.
Yeah.
To put an Arsenal perspective on it, now you've had your Spurs sort of chat, but there we go. Man United flotation, go on.
Can I just go back to something that I've got to get this in? Because I've mentioned this to you, Shawnee, a couple of days ago, you weren't there. Have you heard of something else that's rather funny on Twitter? Be called the 50 Shades of Andy Gray.
Yeah. No.
Have you not? I brought this up with. I noticed it the other day, and it's only a fairly new account. He's only done a few tweets so far, but it's basically a parody account that has come inside 50 Shades of Grey, which is this latest craze all the women are reading, this erotic novel.
Missus is flicking through that at the moment.
I know, I bet she is. with joint up with Andy Gray classic quotes.
Yep.
I'll give you a couple. It's I've got them. He enters her and sighs mournfully. Even his thick power rod finds her pink palace too large. What's up, she asks. I'm in acres of space here, he says. She got this, is a fantastic one. She yelps in pain as her virgin lady door is roughly burst open for the first time by his veteran pork battering ram. I guided that one in.
And then, this is my favourite one.
Brilliant. How will you do me, she asks. Doggy, missionary, cowgirl? She begs, craving his answer. He responds confidently, the Makaleli position.
Fair enough. Yeah, brilliant. Everyone likes a bit of Makaleli.
Actually, you'll love this one, last one. After the 5-hour romp, they shared a cigarette. Was I any good, she asked nervously. You'd struggle on a cold night at the Britannia.
Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? Get some bother inside, it should be fine. Man United stock flotation, New York, apparently, to get a bit more money.
Yeah, they're basically selling a load of shares to people with no kind of payout rights, no dividend rights. The only way that anyone can make any money, they won't have any control or any say in if they in the club, if they buy shares. The only way they can make money is if Man United win the league and the Champions League. Basically, so it's a terrible deal.
It's good they're doing it to America then, because they're all stupid.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They'll go straight in for it.
Yeah.
I don't think we've got many listeners in America, and if we did have, we haven't now, so that'll be fine. Goal on technology in the Premier League.
Apparently so, yeah.
So are we going to be the first trial nation then, are we? Or?
Yeah, it looks like it. There's two companies involved.
Hawkeye,
what's the other one?
Goal Ref.
Okay. I prefer the name Hawkeye.
I like Hawkeye, but that's cricket, isn't it? Or is it tennis? Or
both.
Is it both?
Both. Yeah.
I mean, if it's doing well, those two.
Yeah, but if they've got a monopoly, let's give Goalref a chance.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, Goalref are going to be bang out of business, aren't they? They're pinning their hopes on this, because they're going to just choose one of the two.
Yeah, you're
what
right.
Do you do? Well, we tell you if the ball's over the line. What do you do? Well, the same thing. Well, who are you going to choose?
Yeah.
It's like Mad Men. They just pick someone that they like on. Can we sleep with her? Yeah, you got the job. Well done. Go on.
They've both got their pros and cons. Goalref.
What are the cons?
Luke McCormack. Who we are supposed to be talking about later.
Before,
let me just cut in. Four cons. We have a potential Naughty Boy of the Year award.
Hang on, can you let him finish his. We're going to Naughty Boys.
But it's a con. It's about being a con.
Well,
it was really good.
How much more would you want to tell us about this?
Nothing.
Yeah, really. Go on, we'll move on. when it gets announced, Sean's our goal line technology man. When the deal gets announced, we'll ask him why. Yeah, well, let's move on then.
Right.
Yeah.
So, anyway, well, as I said, speaking of cons, there we go.
Yeah, Stuart, good one.
Thanks, Stu. We have a potential Naughty Boy of the Year award
already.
This is pretty serious.
Serious in a funny way,
but also not that funny because I'll tell you why.
Right.
I'm intrigued.
Braino,
I've got
Braino, who
good name. Yeah.
Braino, who
sounds like a CBBC character.
He was doing part of the commentary on the final.
He's about as stable as a CBBC character as well.
What's he done? Who is he? What's he done?
He's 20-year-old.
Sounds like Cilla Black again.
22-year-old ex Bayern Munich centre back.
Okay.
Who has been banged up for just shy of 4 years for arson for setting his own house on fire.
What, insurance or
No, I think it's because of his mental health problems.
He's basically really, really mentally unstable.
Who did you say he plays for?
Bayern Munich.
They
signed him as like this new Lucio or whatever.
So where did this did he happen
in
back in Britain?
It happened in Munich.
He's been in lots of trouble with the club.
He could have had 10 years in jail. But because of his well-documented mental health problems, he could have escaped it as well. But they've decided that he's just a delinquent, and for the prosecution, there is no reason to see otherwise that he's not just a wrong'un, they reckon. Because he's actually the funny bit is he tried to burn his own house down because he's a bit nuts. The not so funny bit is that his kids were in there as well.
Jesus.
And they got him out all right, and everything was fine.
But how old is Luton as well?
Well, I mean, he's 22, so he can't be teeny tiny, can't they?
Yeah.
Absolute nutcase. He's so sorry about it. But bizarrely, Bayern Munich have actually pledged their support to him. And apparently, he was just about to join Lazio. He was very close to signing for Lazio.
Really? He's supposed to be hugely talented. When you say they've
pledged their support, are they doing anything? Because obviously he's not with them anymore. Are they going to do anything to help him? Or
no, I've just voiced the club's regret to hear that a former player was facing a spell behind bars, and that said that he's. I think they realise that he's. It's kind of like I can't believe I'm saying these words, but an extreme Mario Balotelli. Some serious stuff there. But I think unfortunately he's just a little bit cuckoo, and now he's been banged up.
Brino of Brazil. We'll keep an eye on that because he's obviously a talented footballer. So
he could be back. I mean, he's only 22 as well. He could well be back.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. An eye on Brino. You keep an eye on goal line technology.
Very quickly as well.
Brino's been more exciting than goal line technology.
That's why you've got goal line technology.
Speaking of quite interesting, Mario Balotelli's going to be a dad.
Really?
Oh yeah, I did see that.
Who with?
Rafaela.
Yeah,
is she still with
him? No, she dumped him after the whole prostitute scandal.
Yeah.
And she's pregnant with his baby. This is my favourite bit though. When asked by a journalist, do you think the baby is going to be a boy or a girl? Mario's response was, I hope so.
Then he took his shirt off.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but if there was the last footballer that I generally, well, one of, definitely in the top five footballers, that it's probably not in the right state of frame of mind or right time to have a kid is probably Mario Balotelli. Yeah. But good luck to.
It's not going to want for much though. Let's be honest. It's
true.
There's worse situations to be born into.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he's already got his own Santa costume, so Christmas is sorted.
Yeah. To be honest, the more I read about his family situation with his foster parents, they sound absolutely brilliant. So
hopefully, I'll have a lot of support around him. But
we'll move on. That's about it for domestic news, isn't it?
I think there is one.
Gillingham are struggling to even train at the moment. Yeah. What's all this about?
There's been a few times in my life where I've been goaded for the supporting the team that I support, mostly for being a pikey and what have you. And it doesn't help when the club get turfed out of their training grounds
because they haven't paid the bills.
Yeah, and so they basically get told to move on. I've had quite a few texts and quite a few emails and quite a lot of shit at work. But at the moment, we're a complete joke club. We haven't had a manager in place since May, although apparently
you've got one now, haven't you?
Apparently, we're appointing one at 4 o'clock today. We're recording this Thursday. It remains to be seen.
Any idea who that's going to be?
Yeah, I'll tell you in a minute. The McCammon latest as well, because I talked about it quite a lot last week. The guy's taking Gillingham to. It's been delayed, so it lasted 4 days, tribunal, so it ended on Friday, but looking about 8 weeks until the situation resolved.
When's John Terry's? That's got to be soon.
It
might be next week.
Delayed until I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Look into that.
Yeah.
Sean, Goal Line Technology and John Terry, the massive racist. That's what you're
allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah, so about 8 weeks till we know about that, so I will keep you updated on that. And then the news broke yesterday that the basically Gillingham, the club, owed the Medway Council £34,000 for failing to pay their bills on the training ground.
Is that
for
4 years?
Is that quite a lot of money for Gills?
Yeah. we haven't paid them since 2008. And it's council-owned land.
You've done well. Because that reminds me of like when I go training on a Tuesday night for my club, and they get to the point where
your bills. Yeah, Dan, you haven't paid us for 8 months. Yeah. Oh, how much do I owe? 80. Oh, what? Yeah. You just wish you paid £4 every week.
I know. Yeah. And it's the same with training down there, and they just switch the floodlights off. You're like, all right, time to go home now, lads. So they did the same in the gym.
They basically said the players were due back to go back training today, Thursday, I believe. And they basically said, well, you can't train on there, £34,000. But what I like is that Gillingham have actually said that the club have put forward an offer of payment. So they're not going to... They just said Gillingham have put forward an offer of payment.
What does that even mean? Well, we'll offer to pay.
We'll give you a fiver, or I don't know. We'll pay you in another 4 years' time.
We definitely will give you some money at some point.
Yeah. So we've got all this stuff going on around the club, and then it appears that we are going to appoint a manager. We've not had a manager since the end of April, start of May, and that manager is going to be Martin Allen, whose nickname is Mad Dog.
Yeah,
right.
And who's known for putting players into rivers, and he's been involved in,
to be fair,
racist allegations at Cheltenham, and exposing himself in pubs. It's going to be interesting.
He's a man of the people. He's a man of the Gillingham people, is what he is.
He's not a man of the Cheltenham people. They bloody hate him.
Yeah.
But it was either that or Paul Ince, and I'd take him above Paul Ince, because I've heard bad things about Paul Ince as a man manager and as a tactician.
He doesn't seem to be great, does he?
It's going to be an interesting one, guys, I've got to be honest.
Last couple of bits?
Yeah, go for it, mate.
Cardiff City have offered refunds to about 70 of their 16,000 season ticket holders for the... of the change of shirts.
Fair enough.
I read the minutes of the meeting that they had. It's
not just the change of shirts, though.
You have really got some serious time on your hand, or not a lot very interesting going on in your life, have you, Shawnee? I'm sorry, mate, but you read the minutes of the meeting.
No, I dispute that. I spoke to Sean the other week before the FA Cup, the European Cup semi-final. I went, "Where are you watching it tonight, mate?" He went, "Oh, Jim, I've got the house to myself. I'm going to go home. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to put my Panini stickers into my Euro 2012 sticker book. Then I'm going to play Football Manager. Then I'm going to watch the football." And he was so happy. And to be honest, I said, "Yeah, fair enough. That sounds quite good, actually."
Oh, brilliant.
I'm going to go to the pub and get hammered. But
I'm going to go and take a long, hard look at myself.
No, that sounds like... I bet a lot of other people listening to this will go, "Yeah, that sounds like a good night." Especially when you're on your own, that sounds like a perfect night. Plus, you've got the laptop there anyway.
I'll probably do doing something different on the laptop as opposed to playing football.
You've always got that option. I've just got, whilst we're talking about laptops and internet, on Facebook, Spurs fans were asked to vote for their all-time Spurs 11, and it was sabotaged by Arsenal fans who voted Sol Campbell into their all-time 11, which I thought was quite funny.
Do you know Juan Román Riquelme has retired from football?
Oh, Boca lost the Copa Libertadores final to Corinthians.
I think that's quite a sad
note.
Wonderful player.
He was
but do you know supposedly,
player.
Allegedly, why he's quit football? Because he's only 34, I think. Do you know why?
Why?
Because he wants to have more time to spend at barbecues.
should give Alex a shout at Melbourne.
That's all right.
He really should.
Yeah.
Talking of
Alex
which,
Terror.
Oh yes.
Lee Sutherland, who heads up the FFDU guys over there, and their show is actually live on iTunes at the moment. Their last show, have a little listen to that. There's a new club. They've entered the A-League this season. They're called Western Sydney Wanderers. Yep.
Oh, it's been official. There's a new club.
Yeah, so he's emailed us. Should you wish to follow these guys, I'm sure they'd be well up for giving you some information. And also, Jess that came over, she supports Sydney FC.
Yes.
So
this is
Western Sydney Wanderers. So apparently she'll choke on a beer, but it would be fun. So what I want you to do for next week,
right,
instead of a Melbourne Heart update,
right,
we might still stick with Melbourne Heart, but
I do like the Heart, but I think it
to become... podcast team to follow. Get some information.
I think they're going to be managed by Tony Popovic. Palace lad.
Who else was he at? Was he at Portsmouth or Coventry?
No, he scored a great own goal against Portsmouth.
Oh, that must be what I'm thinking
that
of.
That must be what you're thinking of.
Definitely.
Sean Miller, the absolute fountain of ridiculous knowledge.
Yeah. what I want you to do, Dan, is just look into it. Get some stats. Come back to us next week and say, right, this is what they're about.
I'm not being funny. I think purely to wind up Jess, that we should almost
certainly
start.
There's going to be a lot of pointing going on.
Yeah, we should almost certainly start following them and supporting them. as well, to be honest, because I think she, and to be fair, she's not going to be coming back over anytime soon.
You so, say that.
Yeah, she's
you haven't, my next so. News. It's not, unfortunately, it's not. And just one little bit of housekeeping prediction results. We predicted the England Italy results. Sean,
do you know why he's gone to this?
Sean went for a 1-1. No, I always go to it. Sean went for a 1-1.
We missed it last week. Do you know why? Because he's the only bugger that got it right.
Sean went for a 1-1. Jay went for a 2-0. Dan went for a 2-1. Stu, you went for a 2-1. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I went for 0-0. So I got the 2 points. But we are going to be starting a new prediction competition at the start of the season. Have you paid your money for that yet, Dan?
Mate, I haven't got any money.
Oh, come on.
I know. Mate, I haven't even got two tips to rub together. I've just made that.
Two tips to rub more about Dan's financial situation next week. Okay, you can follow us. www.footballpodcast.co.uk. Email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. All complaints.
At Simon Head.
Always the same. Facebook, we are on facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. Sean Miller, you're going to be in charge of putting the show up this week.
Okay.
And as always, we're on Twitter @footballpodcast. There you'll get our show updates, anything we've noticed, and all our blog updates as well. So that is the main one to follow us on that. We've done 50 minutes, guys. Just between
so
the
it's supposed to be half an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go. You've had 20 minutes bonus time. We'll be back next week. The show will be live Thursday, as always.
Can't wait.
It's more domestic based next week because we've already touched on it. There's so much to talk about.
There's loads, and there's stuff happening every day. So
plus, we're going to look at the Olympic squad as well, and look at what sort of team we play. And there's some players in there that I've never heard of.
No, me too.
That I know very little about. So we'll look at that, and we'll get to the bottom of who's in there and who might.
I'm
be
not
playing.
Sure if I'm happy or not. There's no Bale. But we'll talk about that next week.
But he's signing you. Contract, so
I love him.
The last thing is not going to be Spurs. Say something about Palace.
Eagles.
There we go.
Yeah, good.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.